you are going to live your life on one of three levels. One of three levels. Level number one, you will do what you want to do. This is the level where most of the world lives today. Now, if you don't believe that, ask them. Just ask folk, you know, why are you doing this? Not long ago, someone was talking to me about an individual going on staff at their church and said, can you help me? And I said, yeah, I can help you. Try the Spirit to see whether or not they are of God. Now, the help that I gave them was scriptural. Try the Spirit to see whether they are of God. And evidently they did. And when you ask a question, why do you minister in the church? And the answer to them was, I gotta feed my family. That's a bad answer, folks. Try the Spirit. See why an individual says they're called to preach. An individual says, okay, I want to teach. Try the Spirit, Pastor, to make sure that individual is a Christian. Folks, there's a lot of folk in church that don't know Jesus as Lord and the Savior. Remember that revival I had? I'm sure I told you all this after 20 years. No telling what you all have heard. But a revival that I had about this lady coming forward and accepting Jesus. And and she was, I'm looking around and seeing, you know, why everybody's there with their mouth wide open. 40 years, I think, she'd been teaching, Sunday school teacher, and she had never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. What I was thankful over, she accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Again, going back to that preacher that after got through preaching that sermon at the church I was at, he preaches the sermon, and he comes forward himself. I do that every Sunday, don't I? I come forward on it. But he says, I would like to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. And my first cousin, chairman of the deacons, baptized him. And people said, isn't that horrible? And I said, no, it's wonderful. Did you catch that he preached a false doctrine? No, he was great. It wasn't him that was great. It was the Holy Spirit making sure that when God's word goes out, I don't care if God's word goes out from the mouth of Hitler himself or Stalin. If it's God's word will not allow that hope through that word to be thrown away. God will use, didn't he? Judas Iscariot, remember? He was a devil from the beginning, but God let him stay there? Amazing, isn't it? Okay, level one, you will do what you want to do. This is the level where most of the world lives today. Or you'll live in level number two. You will do what you think you ought to do. This is the level where most Christians live today. But that is not the highest level. Level three, you will do what God leads you to do. This is where God wants all of us to live. And the majority of Christians will live. You will do what you think you ought to do. Sometimes you can overthink your calling. Sometimes you can, frankly, just think too much and get way down into the detail of, well, now this is why you can think too much, overthink, instead of pray. And ask God's leadership through His Holy Spirit. I'm a mess. I am broken, Lord. And I know that I'm part of your family. Please give me direction. When we do that, that's when we do what God leads us to do. Do you remember from the beginning of accepting Jesus Christ that our hope lie in Jesus, who He is as a person in us now, and our hope will lie in exactly what He wants us to do. Not only will our hope we lie. It is those out there that do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You and I have a ministry. And when we use God's word, when we figure out or focus on the calling that God has given us, cast your bread upon the water, the word of God will not return void. Well, you know, I just don't think I did any good there. Well, good. Because when you think you've done some good, the Holy Spirit wasn't in it. It's all about the word of Christ. When he comes for us, when he comes from his home on high to take us back with him, I realized this morning that I was thinking, here we are coming back with the Lord, our spirit, and him resurrecting the body to be turned into a glorified body, just like Jesus. Then now, folks, that's going to be a fun trip. We're not even going to think that journey's long at all. It is pure love and pure focusing on what God leads us to do. Okay, tonight I want us to go ahead and begin with you can know what to do with your life. The reason a lot of people will say that they don't know what to do is simply because they don't want to know what to do. People will use ignorance as an excuse. Well, folks, you don't need any excuse to go to hell. That's obviously ignorance, but it's ignorance of the truth of God. Not everyone who cries, Lordy, Lordy, will enter the heaven either, remember? God looks to the heart of the individual, and as he looks to the heart of that individual, that touch, he says, let me tell you what you need to do with your life, Larry. And see, he names each one of us. Here's what I want you to do with your life. Again, I go back to the Apostle Peter, him the one denying Jesus. And what does Jesus say when he's knowing that Peter is broken, devastated, because Peter backed away from him, even denied him, and in order to make sure that they would pay attention to him as not being of the way, is what they were called, they're of the way, and prove it, he started cursing to prove it. And Jesus said to the ladies, tell Peter, when he comes to his senses, to meet me. The translations on that are tremendous. Tell Peter when he's in his right mind. You know, you get the translation, and it always goes back. Peter was out of his mind. Now, I want you to think about this. In order for me to walk close with God, I must be out of my mind. Think of that. If I am going to allow the Holy Spirit to lead me, I have to make sure my mind, my thoughts don't get in the way. I have to make sure that I'm out of my mind. What had Peter learned? He had went out of his mind, but he went out of his mind in the wrong direction. And the Lord says, come back to me. Tell him to come to me when he's over having a bad case of the stupids. You know, come to me, and I will give him rest. Oh, folks, think of that one. Okay. The hardest question to answer for any age, doesn't matter. What am I going to do with my life? And as we get older, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? And then we think, how am I going to do it because I can't even walk? So how am I going to do this? Think of it. We always think, what am I going to do with my life? Whether it is from the youth up, or from as you, we start aging and saying, well, I've got this much of the rest of my life left. What am I going to do with it? For one thing, you have no idea how much of your life you have left. Ask my mother. You don't know. But I'll tell you this. When people say, I don't understand why I'm here, still being kept here, you and I as Christians, folks, we have a blood brother duty to live out the life God has given us, but to live out that life serving Him. And you don't have any idea of what child you're going to touch or what whoever you're going to touch. You don't know who your personality is going to relate to, and many times you will never know it. It'll just be where somebody has walked by overhearing a conversation. You may be talking about, you know, I cannot believe how God just blessed Stephanie so much with being cancer-free. And that stranger that's walking by hearing that, God, does he do stuff like that? And talking with, gosh, I don't even know who it was this week, too many. But of saying that dealing with how God works in your life, you don't know. I don't picture. You see, when I became a Christian, I even became a preacher. When I surrendered to the ministry, that's what we call it, surrendered to the ministry. That means that I quit fighting God. But frankly, I never fought God on it. I knew my calling, but I understand the term. Okay, once you do that, you understand also it's not about you. It's about everybody else out there instead of you. It's about showing my love. It's called the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, the answer is found in the four biblical principles. That answer to what am I going to do with the rest of my life? Look at principle number one. Look to God's leadership completely. Look to God's leadership. How do I find God's leadership? For one thing, you ask Him and talk to Him. Bring your prayer life up to date with God. There's no problem God wanting to answer your prayers. The problems come in because we don't pray. We don't want to talk to God. What if God decides that I'm not going to do what I was going to ask Him to let me do? So the best thing for me, don't ask Him. And then go out and say, oh, I'm not guilty. You know, my bad. Yeah, it's your bad. It's your bad because you refuse to focus on the leadership of Christ. As I told you all this morning, I realize what this next year is going to bring to me. I know it. And isn't it sad when you know that God's called you back into that outreach type of evangelism, that you're hesitant because you're telling people how much God loves them and warning them? And when you do that, all hell will come against you. Never fails. As I've told you again also, that Satan's death warrant sermon. When I was in all of those different churches over the years, I finally got to the point, God, I don't want to preach that topic again. And my pastor friends would say, Larry, what is wrong with you? And I would share it with them. And they had a sermon that was special to them that God had given them that the same thing happened. I would never have known that had one of them not asked, what is wrong with you? And when you break out in sweat, and you're thinking, especially with them knowing me in those younger years, and I'm thinking, I don't want to do it. I'm shaking and all of this. What's wrong with you, boy? You just feel like both of them was going to slap me right upside the head and tell me, get in that pulpit and preach. Look to God's leadership completely. This is what I call, your pastor calls it, so don't get mad at anybody else, going spiritual. We're going to have to go spiritual, looking for God's leadership, but look at the last completely. You cannot be following God's leadership and then all of a sudden tell God, that's fine, I'll take it from here. Because whoop-de-doo, Lord, I am the best Christian that you've ever had. And I know that. So you just work on somebody else's life. not a wise statement to make to God. You all do know that, don't you? Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. All your heart, all your spirit, all of the being that really makes you tick. Not the pump, the heart, the spiritual being inside of you. And you will listen to him. That's going spiritual when you dedicate your whole heart. Okay, when I dedicate my heart, that means that, Lord, I'll listen to you. That's the dedication of the heart. Wherever you call, I will go. Isaiah, here am I, Lord, send me. And then what happens? Well, when you say that, you know, during the times, a lot of those times, things are going good. You're feeling good. You know, you're high on the top of the mountain. And send me, Lord. And then it's later when you say, I didn't want you to send me there. Why didn't you send me to where I thought you would send me? Because you and I no longer belong to ourselves. I am to preach the gospel where God says, preach the gospel. And then I will pray for those who try to stop me, because they're in more trouble than I would have ever been in. So you preach the gospel, and you do it by caring about people, by loving people, but you do it by warning them also. You know, the hurt of life is nothing compared to the death of an individual who has not said yes to Jesus Christ. Forever dying, but never able to die. I can't fathom that. I can't fathom it. Especially when Christ says, here I am. I want to lead you through life. None of the partying and all this stuff that you're doing in your life, that's not going to work. Let me bring peace to your heart. That is the answer. That's going spiritual. The word trust in the Hebrew language literally means to lie down upon or to stretch out on. The word there is, trust me, lean back, I'll carry you. You remember the deal with the footprints with Jesus carrying? Okay, this is what we're talking about. Trust in me, I will carry you through the life. Does he not say that what he's called us to, he will finish? Our problems, again, as leaders, is we think now, okay, I got it, Lord, I'll finish it. I don't want to go through past that finish line, and the Lord's not there, folks. That's not the finish line. That's the human line that you set with your mind. Bertrand Russell, you all probably wouldn't know him, but he's one of the most infamous atheists. He says this. Unless you assume a God, the question of life's purpose is meaningless. This is the atheist. Unless you assume a God, the question of life's purpose is meaningless. You and I consider the God. We know the God. We know the hope of Christ that indwells us. We know that hope. And for the groups who say there is no God, the leader is saying, listen, there can be no purpose. It's meaningless if you don't believe in, he says, a God. But if you don't believe, how many people you reckon are walking around life and have absolutely see no purpose? I've met multitudes of them over the years. What are you going to do with your life? Oh, I guess, Chaplain, I'm just going to come in and out of jail and let y'all feed me. And a lot of times they've followed up on that. But see, that's not from God. And you and I, as we reach out, here's principle number two. Identify God's thinking initially. Okay. Identify God's thinking in your life initially. Don't wait until you're halfway in what you are thinking that God's wanting you to do. And they said, by the way, Lord, you think it's a good idea. What are you going to do when he says, I didn't have anything to do with that idea? That's your thing. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. How do you understand this scripture? Well, it doesn't matter. Because that scripture, and I tell you what John 3:16 means to me. It's the same word from Christ. And you memorize that you know in your heart, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever calls on his name will be saved. Okay. When you're talking to someone else, well, let me tell you what this means. I guarantee, you know, the salvation part we've got as Christians. But see, that one verse means so much more. How? Because to each individual, God gives his word to them for a purpose. And that purpose that God's giving it to them for, that purpose only that individual will be able to recognize. You all cannot recognize the calling that God has called me to, whether with the prison systems or just preaching, period. You cannot relate to that. Why? It's not your calling. Every preacher has the call to present the gospel, but each one of us have a special direction that God has called us to, and you can't explain it. But the Lord wants us to know, so put God's thinking initially. Do it first. Identify it. Is this God's thinking or is it me? Well, open your Bible and see when you're saying, well, this is what I feel God talking to me about. And if you find what you will in Scripture and you find that it's not biblical, that ain't God. It's not God. It isn't God. Now, see, that way you get the point across to most of the ones who are listening, especially from Kentucky. Right, Paula? Uh-huh. Good, good. Lean is the Hebrew word which literally means to support yourself by leaning on something or someone else. Now, that shows us the direction for our life. Don't we sang Leaning on Jesus? Leaning on the promises. Well, think about it. When we lean on him, that is what God is telling us. Lean on him. Jeremiah 10, verse 23. I know, Lord, that a person's life is not his own. Let me start it again. Jeremiah 10, 23. I know, Lord, that a person's life is not his own. No one is able to plan his own course. Well, and that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? I mean, how do you... Well, you know, yeah, but God told me to do it my way. No, but what God said to you, and this is where it does get confusing sometimes. God says to you, this is your calling. Now, in your calling, you don't allow your own plans to supersede mine. So therefore, I want you talking to me all the time. Talk to me all the time. Yeah, it's really getting bad with me because I think at any time fate's going to put me out of the car or knock me down the steps. Because here I am having a conversation with God, doing fine. Who you talking to? God. Well, you're just mumbling. Well, I don't need to yell at him. He's right here. And, you know, and I catch myself with that, doing it. And I do it because, you know, it's getting, I don't want to say worse, it's getting more frequent for me to do that. So I guess that's what the people say when you're talking to yourself. Yeah. Principle number three, follow God's counsel. Look at the last one. Totally. Totally. Go to a counselor. The counselor, why are you there? You're there because you want to get insight on a problem that you have. Therefore, you go to the counselor, you leave the counselor, and don't do a thing the counselor said. Right? Well, welcome to the preacher's world. Because, you know, it's just like the one preacher kept preaching the same sermon over and over and over again. And as he's preaching that sermon over and over again, they finally confronted him. Preacher, every Sunday it's the same sermon over and over again. When are you going to preach a new sermon? I'll do it as soon as you all start paying attention to the one I'm preaching. And that's a fact of life. Every time I look in the Word nowadays, there's a new sermon in one word. Folks, your preacher is nervous. And I'm not afraid of anything, or I didn't think I was. But I see such evil, and I've seen evil through the system for years. Nothing like I see now. Nothing. And the sickness that is out there is a sin sickness. And I get in arguments with these social workers that say, well, all they need is this chance here. What are you talking about? I have an alcoholic brother. I know. Watch them. They'll lie. They'll cheat. They'll steal. They'll do anything that they possibly can to take care of their own needs. Doesn't matter about anyone else. And God says, when I give you counsel, pay attention to it. Well, when do we get in trouble? Every time we get away from His counsel. And then here we are and we think, you know, I just remember the Lord told me not to do this. I shouldn't be here. Okay. Follow God's counsel totally. Meaning, again, don't just take it piecemeal. Totally. You don't get the true flavor until you get to the bottom of the cup. You take it totally. What is the little boy said when he was going to split a milkshake? And the little boy turned it up and drank the whole thing. And he said, we were supposed to do that in parts. He said, I did. My part was on the bottom. And so we will get around life that same way. In all your ways, Proverbs 3:6 says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways. Okay, when you see success coming, what normally happens? I'm a self-made man. Self-made millionaires. Self-made. Well, then it's not going to last very long. Anything you do yourself separate from God's direction, folk, it will fail. Got it? Okay. The word acknowledge here literally means to recognize or to see. You see, when we recognize or acknowledge Christ, we are saying, I see you. I see you, Lord. We really don't see Him physically with our eyes, but we see Him. And we can't explain how we see Him. How do you know Jesus exists? Because He lives in my heart. Really? What does He look like? Jesus is God incarnate. It's not the looks, it's the power. Through Scripture, we find that it's more light, meaning that it can't be controlled. It can go through. It is a He. And every time they say, you know, the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit is a person of Christ. Knowledge literally means to recognize or to see. When you have the Holy Spirit, you're seeing God. Always keep God in mind as God. Okay? always keep God in mind as God. You simply sign a blank contract and allow God to fill it in. That's how you follow God's counsel totally. And if you're going to piecemeal it, you're not going to get the first part of the counsel anyway. God will not allow us to destroy ourselves. We're His children. If one of your children are walking around with a live grenade in their hand, you're going to go over there to protect your child. And don't tell me you're going to hand it to your wife. That's not smart either. What you do is you're wanting to protect. Why? Because what they have in their hands is going to hurt them. And you really don't want to hurt. Who are the ones that you hurt the most? The ones you love the most. It's a fact. Every one of us in here know that. It's a fact. Jealousy, does that play a role? Sure it does. Yeah, but now you know that green monster jealousy is not godly. Well, I got news for you. God is a jealous God, He says. So where do we get that? We get that because as Christians, that as God our Father, we know that we don't want to lose. And we are jealous of individuals who will try to take that away or will pull them away. So jealousy sets in. So do you say that God then allows an angry green monster to attack him, the thing called jealous? I wouldn't do that. Don't you ever feel that burn when you're afraid of whatever it is and yet you just, you're on fire from the feet to the top of your head because you love so much? So think about God's feelings. Huh? That's why God said, told them, don't touch, do not lay a hand on, do not touch God's anointed. Just like somebody coming after one of your children, only multiplied, whatever. Principle number four, the last one is, expect God's guidance confidently. Being confident in God's Word. When God says something, when you're reading it in His Word, when He says it, you can be confident that what you're reading is of God and it's for you. You can't always do that when you're trying to get the advice from people. This is God's part. When you expect God's guidance and you're confident in His guidance, that's God. Now, Proverbs 3:6, and He will make your paths straight. Well, to make my paths straight tells me that my paths as an individual are crooked. And the Lord is saying, I want to straighten them out. Because running around all of those curves, you're going to crash. And be careful, because sometimes the crash is devastating. The word make straight means that He will give us direction. Because when it comes to the future, every one of us are blind. All of us are blind when it comes to the future. Isaiah 42, verse 16. I will lead the blind. Ah, that's God talking to us. I will lead the blind by a way that they do not know. In paths that they do not know, I will guide them. I will make darkness into light before them, and rugged places into plains. These are the things I will do, and I will not leave them undone. It sounds to me like a leader we need to be following, because we're following the one that loves us the most and can protect us the most. When you have a friend that is ready and willing to lay down their life, and I always go back, give me the scripture of the individual that'll lay down his life for a friend. Thank you, Miss Debbie. Greater love does a man have than to lay down his life for a friend. Now, stretch your mind on this, because you'll see the next verse. I can see it. You can see that. Our Lord laid down his life for people who hate him. You and I, the scripture says, there's no greater love than for us to lay down our life for the ones we love, for a friend, for a brother. And the point in that scripture is that Jesus laid down his life for those who hate him. Think about that one. Okay. The words make straight means that he will give us direction, because when it comes to the future, we're all blinded. Where did I stop it? On Isaiah. For it got to preaching. Let me read it. 42:16. I will lead the blind by a way they do not know, in paths they do not know. I will guide them. I will make darkness into light before them, and rugged places into plains. These are the things I will do, and I will not leave them undone. You're on a rocky path. He said, I'll clean it up for you. Follow me. Okay. Isaiah 58:11. And the Lord will continually guide you. So if we get off the path, don't blame it on God. He says that he will continually guide us. Sometimes we just don't like the guiding. We just want to do it ourselves. Don't work. Psalm 32, verse 8, this is the final one. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. What else do we want, folks? This is God speaking, and David is listening, and David's a mess, and David knows it. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you, and with my eye upon you. Now that's a friendship, folks. Well, Lord, I got myself in this mess. Yeah, and you can't get yourself out. So who do we call on? Jesus. Help me this time, Lord, and I'll never have. When you put God in his rightful place, God will put you in your right place. God in the leadership role, you will then find the right place he has for you.